The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Down the witch's road. Welcome back to Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Hosted by me, Kyle Scunwell, and you, Robbie Earl. Hey, wow. is that an original song? Or is there, like, you're going to have to educate me on some witch stuff. Or is that something that, in general, like, witches have known for a long time?
Well, as someone that's very in with the witch community, I think that's a new song from the same folks that the Frozen team that did the WandaVision original songs.
They are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a spell like that particular genre too, like seeing them operate in this corner of the MCU, I think is pretty great. Like there have been a couple of other shows or movies where I feel like we've gotten little like not as spotlit, but some little original songs. And I do feel like it's always a step up whenever you're entering Westview territory.
They are unbelievable. I was listening to WandaVision to get prepared for Agatha all along. And I just need to reiterate this. I know I brought this up on the original episode, but the decision to create the song Agatha All Along was so unbelievably clutch back in the day. Like, there are so many ways you can analyze it, but I can't get over just musically. I love the song. Like as they wrote it and as it was produced, it sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, just the whole irony of just approaching it so on the nose, Catherine Hahn even saying I killed Sparky too is just like, it literally set the tone for this entire show now, which is kind of wild. But that song, I can't get over how good it is. How are you doing today? Are you ready to talk Agatha All Along? We're back with the serialized television show here.
Yeah.
Week to week.
I am ready. You know what? I got the chance to sit down and watch all of these in one sitting, which doesn't often happen.
All four that we've got.
All four, yeah. So we got the four screeners. We're only going to be talking about the two episodes that have been released, so no one needs to be afraid of spoiler talk. But I say that because sometimes you're squeezing that stuff in, and it's not really a commentary on the quality of the project. But I do feel like it says something that I plowed through all four in a row, and Candace did as well. Like she watched with me, and we went like, it was really fun. It was the first, honestly, it took me back to WandaVision because I feel like that was the last show where we did that, because ever since then they've kind of gone all over the place with these releases. And obviously the screener doesn't really matter with release time, but it like, that was the last time that Candace and I kind of together we're watching this stuff instead of her walking through a room while I'm watching it and kind of like half paying attention. So it was like a really fun experience for me. And it was fun to have her invested in that way.
I love that. Okay. Before we get started, I want to tell you quickly about organicpricebooks.com. If you're just finding this podcast, Organic Price Books gives you your best comics at the cheapest prices with the best delivery. Organicpricebooks.com. They're going to have all kinds of stuff that will help research and guide you through this show. And if you use the promo code Friends from Work, all one word, Friends from Work, you can save money, even more money.
Yeah, we also have some collections curated on there from Friends from Work. So if you go to the website, you'll see a tab that has some of the stuff that we've recommended. We'll probably be updating that soonish as well.
No doubt. The second thing I'll say as we get started here is I, and I think you, tend to like to lean more toward talking about the MCU-ness of a project versus always critiquing the quality or praising the quality of a project. Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of fun to talk about where this is going plot-wise, and so that's kind of how I would like to steer it. That being said, as a starting point, these... So Robbie and I, full disclaimer, have seen four episodes, but we're just going to be talking about the first two today, Rob. So make sure you have good notes. Nothing spills over because I know you just said you watched them all at once. Dude, I had a really fun experience with this. I watched the first four, but specifically the first two, and I think it's a great stopping point because mm-hmm. I think that there was some stuff in the first one that took a little bit of time to get going for me, but I thought that that last 20-minute sequence of the second episode in particular was yeah. maybe my favorite part of the whole thing, just a slam dunk finish to that. Mm-hmm. And there were some surprising things about this show. Like, I had no idea what to expect going in at all.
Yeah.
I thought, let's start here for a second. I thought the first two episodes were a little bit funnier than I thought it was going to be. Like, not only going back to the WandaVision era, but I thought yeah. that Teen, his dynamic, was uh-huh. pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially episode two, because episode one is more of the detective thing, which we'll get mm-hmm. into in a second. But then once they kind of get to that, like, you know, Agatha snaps out of it, the satirical, like, jaded Agatha, but then
yeah.
bouncing that off like a Miss Marvel style character of just someone who's a mega fan of uh-huh. it, I always find very charming.
Well, and I thought Deborah Jo Rupp was also really so funny.
So funny.
And which she only shows up in the second episode, but that was like, that's the character.
Dude, it was
that
making
I think,
me laugh out loud.
Yeah. No, Candace and I were laughing out loud with like,
she's like, am I supposed to know this song?
Am I in the supposed middle to know this song?
And this is a weird party and stuff like that. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny.
I have that in my notes. And this is hard, it's cracking me up.
Also, so those two episodes, these are the ones and maybe the finale that Jack Schaefer directed. I think that that's correct. We were kind of okay. going through on our preview episode. There were a lot of different directors and writers on this one. And unlike Matt Shakman's approach in WandaVision, you know, you have, I think, at least three or four different folks in the director's chair. But yeah, I thought, I agree. It was, without getting us off track, I thought it was surprisingly funny, and the type of humor was largely my scene
for sure. Then I thought the finale of episode two did get a little scarier or darker than maybe I anticipated.
Yeah.
I watched it in headphones, and there's a legit jump scare where the witches are trying to burst through the door and they punch through the wall.
Uh-huh.
And just like, I loved the practical editing of how they moved, like multiplied and stuff, you know, the yeah. like camera trick. I thought that was pretty legit. And then that led to like maybe my favorite part when they're like trying to find the door, the very last shot, they're trying to find yeah. the door. And then Teen runs down, goes, oh, is that it? Here we go. And just goes right down instead.
And when the witch is like coming down the stairs, that's yeah. legitimately freaky.
And then when they close the door and it like screams for a second at it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that whole like that. The second episode, and particularly the way that we started getting into the scary stuff, was really encouraging for me because it just shows that they like I was worried that this would fall too much into like a hocus pocus, like a Disney Channel-y feeling vibe whenever they're trying to do the magical stuff. And it does sometimes kind of knowingly, but I like that whenever they want to get dark and scary, they're willing to go there. Like it's in general, this show is not, it's not really overly restrained. Like I feel like they are willing to do whatever they like, whatever that episode is focused on, they're willing to go all out in a way that does feel reminiscent of WandaVision without feeling like they're just playing the hits. And I thought episode two is a great example of that. But I do think it's interesting for us to just talk about these first two episodes, because I would say that those are so different because like the first episode has such a like starting it, it feels even more like WandaVision because you're starting with like a theme Westview. Song
Herb.
With, and it's like a whole, there's an illusion kind of an element and
Norm.
You can tell that she's doing like the Mayor of Easttown thing, which Candace really liked because she watched that show. And it's like they, that episode made me think that we were going to be getting a different series than the one that I think we are getting, but not in a way that felt discordant, just in a way that like it was almost like a nice bait and switch, I think. Because I'm glad that it's not just every other, like every episode is another take on a different style of TV show. Like
it felt like that for a second with the first one.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, exactly.
That the first and second one were going to be so different. And then what, that was one of my only question marks. I wouldn't even say negatives. One of my only question marks was, and maybe I just don't watch enough of the Mayor of Easttown style stuff. I liked the drama and the seriousness. Was Catherine Hahn intentionally overplaying it? Like yeah. some of the like,
yeah,
I'm just not sure that I fully bought in, if that's the case, to like the accent and some of the rigidity there. And I know what they're trying to do is like show you that when she snaps out of it, it's so different. And I'll get to that in a second. But I liked the vibe and the tone they were setting. I don't know that I bought her performance there, even though I realize what they're trying to do is be over the top. Maybe the over the topness of that particular aspect just pulled me out a tiny bit.
Yeah, no, and I get that. I think for me, it was so like, if you go watch clips of Kate Winslet in that show, and it's not just that show, there are other like you can, it's sort of a trope. And you know, whenever Aubrey Plaza makes the comment about like it's known that like women can't have a functioning home life and be good cops or yeah. something, like
yeah,
it's like I think Catherine Hahn was going so far into the like I'm super abrasive and cut to the chase and my life is in total disarray and I won't listen to anybody. Like, I think it was, to me, like just a bit that she was fully committed to. And I think I prefer that to something where she's just like playing the straight man within a world that she doesn't really understand. Like, I could see a way where that first episode would be like, we're in this kind of like crime drama small town and she's trying to figure out what's going on, and there's a little bit of that, but I like more that she's kind of the one driving it and she's the one like it feels like, and the reason I like it as a continuation, it does feel like Wanda in those early episodes of WandaVision, where it's like she is acting like a different person and like putting on this like Mary Tyler Moore thing, but just in a different, like, I like seeing kind of what that looks like for Agatha. And I love the like, yeah, you've been like kind of a true crime phase lately.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that was one of the other funniest parts too, is when she's naked outside and just the other guys jogging by Betty yeah, and pulling like, nope. her husband back, who like stays out there. And then the one guy jogging. Yeah. Oh, nope. And going back. I really want to talk about episode two a little bit, just because I thought the Aubrey Plaza dynamic here was pretty excellent. I love the use of practical effects. Like I said, like with her bursting through the door, her levitating, that kind of fight, like even just the fighting over the knife made me cringe a little bit, just because when she's holding a knife and cutting her hand, like,
and
I
that's all episode one, right?
Is that episode one? So yeah.
Which is good. I feel like we can for.
They're gonna mash together here a little bit because I watched them all in one sitting.
Yeah, true. But well, is there anything else about episode one before we move on? I mean, so much of it is kind of the slow burn of figuring out what's going on. There were a couple things from like the MCU perspective I wanted to touch on.
Please. Well, I was gonna say a couple other qualitative things. Like the music to me is so awesome. I love that Beck took the bum, 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 bum and like slowed it down. It's super dark. He's got like this solo piano vibe with this creepy sounds around it. I adore Christoph Beck. He's welcome back on this show. He's been on here twice, but I'm down to have him a third time. I love it so much. I love how he's playing on the WandaVision-ness, again, tying that in. Mm-hmm. There were just a few things like that. And then let's talk about the MCU-ness, because there were some Wanda references.
Yeah.
We're obviously seeing all the people of Westview again, and that the other people of Westview are aware of what happened, but they don't talk about Wanda.
Yeah.
Whereas Agatha's still under the spell. I thought that was unique.
I really liked that. At first I was worried that everybody was back in another illusion, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not sure that this is the right call, but I like that it was all just like, I love the reveal later on of like the car that's just like her desk, and like seeing like everything she thought she was doing around town was just like her around her house or like, you know, nobody was actually like, none of that stuff was really happening. So it's nice that like everyone else is kind of moving on with their life, but they're also like watching her still stuck in it, which is kind of an interesting dynamic. But the MCU stuff, I like, it's nothing super shocking. And I feel like you and I kind of previewed some of this, but I still really love how much this is directly following up on Multiverse of Madness, as well as WandaVision. Like there are several references to all the copies of the Darkhold being destroyed. But I, you know, again, that was kind of, for a lot of people, a left turn for Wanda after WandaVision. And kind of famously, those projects were being made around the same time. So, you know, there are always questions about how well the folks making each were communicating and setting that stuff up. But I like seeing something like this that is kind of, they're comfortable combining both and moving forward and letting that stand. And I like that they are leaning into that, because I feel like there's still a lot in Multiverse of Madness that we haven't really gotten to unpack, like we've said before. And so I'm curious to see, like, if Wanda did in fact destroy all the copies of the Darkhold, you know, there's that body that's clearly supposed to be her that shows up, but that's all part of Agatha's illusion. And it's like, are we going to get any other follow-up in terms of what happened to Wanda? Is there going to be some kind of stinger at some point? Or is Agatha going to find something out while she's walking the witch's road? It feels to me like just the right amount of connectivity where I'm actually more invested in what's going to happen on the MCU side of it than I thought I would be, while also recognizing that that is not really the primary purpose of this show.
Mm. Did you see Elizabeth Olsen on Jimmy Kimmel last night?
I did not.
You'll see clips of this online, but it was by far the most she's ever talked about wanting to return as the Scarlet Witch, as Wanda. And it's obviously interesting timing. I mean, they're asking her about it because of Agatha all along. But it was the first time I had heard her like really directly say, no, I hope I'm not dead. I would like to still be playing these parts. We just got to find the right writer to logically write me undead, but I'm not done, kind of thing. Like, it was very forward. Like, I'm not ready to be finished. I love doing it, is what she specifically said, which is awesome. But that for a little bit, that opened the door a little bit more in my mind. I was pretty sure she's not going to be in it at all. There's a little bit of me that's like, is that a tiny bit of a precursor to a little more there? Maybe not her, but maybe she shot literally just like a cameo in front of a green screen about like where she is, or maybe it's a flashback memory we don't even know what's kind of at the end of the Witch's Road, obviously.
Yeah.
And how much does she tie into that? And if she gets her power back, does that affect Wanda at all?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think I'm getting a little bit more comfortable as we're talking about all this with the witch stuff in general. Like one of the things that I said last episode, and I still agree with this, like on the whole, but the like really heavy magic stuff within Marvel Comics always troubles me a bit, because it seems hard to square with a lot of the more grounded, like kind of sci-fi-y, but like low sci-fi stuff. But I realized, you know, this is something that they've been slowly building on. WandaVision was obviously like the biggest step forward in terms of her being a witch and them showing the Salem stuff. And now I'm thinking, you know, like, I don't know that I need this to be like a major core thread, but I actually do think it's nice to build this out a little bit and to show more of Agatha's background. Like I think that it's going to be one of those things that actually retroactively improves WandaVision, which is not something that really needs to be improved. But I think that like the Agatha stuff there was already good, but I kind of I'm liking the character the more I get of her, which is not always the case. And that was always my fear with this show, that it was going to be putting a character that doesn't really have the ability to carry an entire plot in the protagonist chair. But I think that it's going to make it does away with the one thing you and I have talked about, which is these kind of one and done villains, mm-hmm. where it makes it feel more meaningful, the interactions she's had with Wanda. Mm-hmm. But also it just kind of, it's a chance for us to continue fleshing out that portion of things. And like, I like hearing about some of these kind of different rules, and in the same way that like we have slowly gotten Marvel's take on time travel, mm-hmm. I kind of like that we're getting some boundaries set in terms of like what, like how this magic works, like learning about like the witchcraft versus like having the power and being like a bound witch and all of these things. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't think that they're going to take center stage, but I think that if you're going to go so hard into that with Wanda and WandaVision, and then again with Multiverse of Madness, I think it's kind of fitting to follow that here. You know, I think once we get to the end of the series, it'll just be interesting to see where we go from there. Like if it goes leading into just like the Vision series in some way, or if we like get back into some other kind of like magical sphere. But at this point, I'm enjoying it.
So I totally agree. The weird thing about the magic in this show so far, and you'll see more of it in episodes 3 and 4, but for me, what's interesting is I think they've mostly solved any concerns I've had about just the rules of magic and stuff, only because the tone is kind of just embracing it. Like the tone is embracing that it's kind of goofy to just be like, oh, what do we do here? Oh, well, just grab this thing and that's all you need and blah, blah.
Right.
Like that's, but like, because they're like tongue in cheek about it a little bit, and because nobody feels, you hate when I say this, but no one feels overpowered. Like it feels like they set the level, the correct, like, right now, the hierarchy is clearly like the Scarlet Witch is like the witch, and she is overpowered as far as, you know, she can do basically whatever she wants. But I don't think they're asking us to believe that all these other witches can do all this stuff.
Right.
Like one of the witches in the second episode is just a potion maker, and she's bound, but really all she can do is kind of make potions.
Right.
So almost by setting that precedent, my mind is just at ease with it. Like I do feel like, oh, they could still die. Like someone could come in and, and shoot Agatha in the head and she'd be dead. And that'd be the end of it. Or, you know, like it doesn't feel weirdly, it's weird for me to say this, doesn't feel as not tangible as maybe as I thought. Like it's like, okay, I kind of, my bearings are set straight on all this.
And I like seeing Agatha in that mode. Again, in a way that I wasn't sure I would. It's got kind of this Iron Man 3 thing about it.
For sure.
Where it's like you kind of see her like
cobbling
her,
it together.
Yeah. Well, and it's like she's still like in that fight with Aubrey Plaza's character, Like, she's not using any powers, and it's not like she's like using some kind of crazy like fight moves, but she's holding her own through like force of will. Like, she's just, you kind of see that she is just a super, like, a stubborn person that, like, even when she's been brought low, remains like very arrogant. But
yeah, I was
like,
gonna say the narcissism also has weird Iron Man 3 vibes too. Not just the she's without her power vibe, but
yeah. When it's like, I love that, like, every time Teen is like puffing her up, she like exit on. Like, it's like she's always like, yeah, I am actually the best, which is just fitting for that character and something that you can do in kind of like a, it's also got sort of like a Loki quality to it.
Yeah. More exaggerated here than there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into episode 2 after a quick word from these sponsors. So episode 2 is obviously the episode where she's recruiting her coven. I kind of love, first of all, the episode titles are starting with the lyrics from that song and kind of using that as the basis of what's happening, which I like. But right away, right off the bat, I love the Westview Wanda and Vision lot, property lot shout out. Did you see that? Like, that structure is still there, and some people have like graffitied on it, like, stupid Scarlet Witch. It said something like that, like,
oh wow.
Or it had the picture of the Scarlet Witch logo then crossed out, and I just kind of like little shout outs like that to ground me in where we are, and again, kind of confirming what you were saying in the first episode, just that vibe of, yeah, not everyone is back in a spell. They're all aware of like how awful that time was, except for Agnes.
Yeah, and I love that it's such a, it continues to be a traumatizing thing. Like, I like that people have not really forgiven her for that.
Oh, we don't say that name here. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, five times someone said, oh, whoa, we don't.
And there are some, here. Like, some shout-outs later to just, like, how dark of a thing that was. And again, you know, you and I always like when you give weight to moments that feel like they should be weighty. And that's one thing that we were kind of in danger of with Multiverse of Madness, because like right in the outset, Strange is like, oh no, like Westview's fine. And then we kind of like move past it. And then Wanda becomes like a villain in a totally different, more intense way. But right. I kind of like remembering, like, even when she was not trying to do something bad, this did have like real lasting consequences for people.
No doubt. I thought meeting with the first witch, Lilia, I think her name is, was a highlight for me. How that unfolded, Agatha and Teen playing it off really bombastically, and then the witch actually knowing what's going on was pretty cool. And then that whole dialogue was great. And I thought in general, going around town recruiting the coven was pretty funny. And then one of the highlight funny parts for me was, for some reason, the welcome coven sign from Teen really got me when she walks in and he's like working. It felt very like Dwight and Jim and It Is Your Birthday in the Office kind of thing. But I don't know, like, just that dynamic was really working for me, where he's so not innocent, but so young and tender, and like making a sign for this thing that's actually very dark and it's witchcraft and not like what would normally be followed up with a sign.
I feel like that character in general has been great to kind of play off of. I also,
you need a straight man. Well, he's actually gay, but you need a straight man as far as like all the, you know, all these different ridiculous personalities. It's the Jason Bateman role. If you listen to Smartless, they talk about that all the time. Like, you need somebody who realizes this is ridiculous to play everything else off of. Even so when he's like, wait, I can't make a sign. Like, that's like the normal person. Yeah. You know?
Well, and I did like...
do they eat granola bars? Even if they're stale? Oh, man.
Yeah. Like the toothpicks.
Yeah.
I also like the way that they explain the coven. Like, I like that she's... These things where it's like, okay, well, you know, within a certain mile radius, there are always going to be enough witches. So it's like, I don't know. There's something about that where, again, that's like in some ways...
It's like an arbitrary rule they're setting up.
But I kind of like that they set it up And like, I like that it's not just some like they happen to find or know of these people. Like, you could see how this episode would be structured where it's like, well, let's like look through the phone book at like everyone that like offers fortune telling or whatever. And they just like go and check out all these people or like, but I like this idea that she's aware of like where those people will be vaguely and seeks them out. And then the kind of like underlying, like we know that the Black Heart has to refer to Aubrey Plaza's character, but she refuses to bring her in and finds Mrs. Hart instead. Like I like that there are at least there are rules set up that you feel like have to be followed or there will be some kind of consequences, but we're not really sure what those will be yet. So like it also adds a little bit of dramatic tension.
No doubt. Also, by the way, last week, you know, I told you my camera died. And so I have a new camera, which is amazing. And yeah, now my focus is all off. So don't judge me if you're watching on YouTube. I got to get some kinks worked out here. Okay. Please, no judgment. Absolutely. And can we just for 1 second cycle back on Mrs. Hart, please? Like, just the fact that Agatha runs outside and grabs her, that whole dialogue by the like the fence line is really great. But then that she actually comes and does it, and she's honored that she's being asked to this party. And then there were just so many points where, like, obviously, you're a little bit embracing that this is kind of weird and cheesy for an audience to go in a circle and sing a song and actually do the full song. So, but I low key kind of loved it. This is weird. That's a weird thing to love because I'm watching it going, this is such a weird take. Like, we're going to actually do a full song, for example. But there was just enough of, first of all, the song is a banger. Secondly, they have hinted at that song from the very first shot of the whole series where she's humming to herself, which I love. And Christoph Beck, if you're a music person, has been, he's been dropping these all across the, like all across the episode. So it's been hinted at. Then they actually full blown go into it, but just give you just enough of realizing it's ridiculous. Like with Teen also fighting off these creepy witches kind of changes the tone.
Yeah.
So it's not just goofy, but then like going in a circle and catching Mrs. Hart going, are we supposed to know the song?
And
being totally out of place. And then the door not instantly opening right afterward. I just feel like they actually executed it in a way that I found to be a highlight, aka that last 15 minutes was my favorite part of the whole thing so far.
Yeah. Would you say of the whole first four episodes?
I think I would say of the whole first four episodes, but for just today, especially.
Yeah. I think
there's so many ways that would turn people off. And I think it probably will turn some people off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the camp part. But it worked. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it works. It works.
It works. That's pretty good. That was a deep cut. I usually use, it's working. It's working.
From Anakin. No, I love, the references get ever deeper, as they get more ingrained into the fiber of my being. But,
that was a good one. Not going to lie.
I think that that's a really great moment to pause on for a second because I had the exact same experience where I get nervous with that stuff. Like once we're doing a song in that way, like it's because it's very different. Like everything in WandaVision, all the songs were like theme songs or like, you know, Agatha All Along was kind of still in that vein. Like it was something where it was like a fourth wall breaking thing. It was not characters in the show singing a song,
no doubt.
And so I was nervous when that started.
Same.
And I was really happy with the way, like, it was genius using that as kind of a tone setter while the witches are approaching, because the song, like with what Beck's doing under it, it starts to like get more stressful. Like, it's like you're,
yes,
it's adding this, like it's building. And so I feel like that, and then it culminating in Agatha, in it appearing to not work, and Agatha kind of showing her true colors. And it's just like, it, instead of this thing where they're all like holding hands and believing together and now are like friends and family, I like that it's, they know enough to kind of cut the potential like cheesiness of that with some like both the Mrs. Hart stuff to kind of pull you out of it in a good way, but mm-hmm. also like the understanding at the end that like Agatha is not fully bought into this in the way that it might seem like she is. Like, she's still the same person. She's not like all of a sudden taking on this like team leader role, which was another thing that I was a little like, that doesn't feel true to this character either. And so I don't want to like suddenly put her into a different place. I point that out now because I do think that there's at least one moment later in the show where I didn't feel like they managed to cut it enough, where it felt a little too, like, it did feel a little cheesy to me. But so far that's only happened once. And I think that
10 trillion percent agree, but we can't get into that yet.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are a lot of other opportunities between now and then when it could have happened. And generally I think the show has kept a pretty steady hand on the wheel. And this episode, I think you're right, was a really great example of that.
I totally agree. I think it'd be wildly inappropriate to bring up what we're referencing, but we will talk about it in a few weeks. That's basically it. I love that the ending of this episode. I texted you guys like, great ending. It starts a little bit slow, and part of the slowness was because that first episode has such a different vibe. Although I liked the vibe, such a different vibe. I don't know that I was fully tracking with what Catherine Hahn was trying to do there for me personally. But it really picked up towards this back end when Aubrey Plaza shows up. They have that showdown at the end of the first episode. Mm-hmm. You start figuring out they have some history there, obviously, in more ways than one. And then the second episode, kind of assembling that coven, and then with that crazy awesome finale for me with the song. I think you're right. Not just the song and not just Mrs. Hart, but also that they're then mixing it with those crazy actual horror elements so that it's right. not just this like, yeah, kumbaya moment. That was about all I had other than just to say I do love Christoph Beck and I love his sensibilities. Yeah. So like whatever he can add to those scenes when he does it, I'm pretty much in. That's about it for me. Like I liked it.
Yeah.
I had a strange experience. Did you see my initial reaction tweet to the whole thing?
Oh, I didn't.
Well, I just posted on Instagram, I think Agatha All Along is good, ? I think, and everything was a question mark. I did like 100 question marks. I was like, I think I like it, ? I don't know. I think in general, you know, nuanced conversations a little bit hard to have sometimes. It's for a lot of people, it's either going to be the best thing, the gayest thing, the worst thing, watching it thing, all that. That's going to be the conversation. But for me, it was more like, well, I kind of it was funnier than I thought. It was a little bit scarier than I thought. I thought they handled like the song really well. I thought the Westview part was handled really well. I didn't love Catherine Hahn's performance in the first episode. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of cheesiness later on that's not as endearing as this. A couple lines here or there, like a little bit felt like we weren't totally locked into our thing yet. So it's like, it was kind of good to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, in general, it exceeded my expectations. Like I was, like I said, I mean, we flew through the first four and really enjoyed it. And I was I felt elements of that WandaVision, like, where are we going with this? Like, what's going on? Like, not quite to that degree, because WandaVision, you were so disoriented for so long. But there was still that, like, okay, well, like, there are some dangling threads about what has, like, what is in Agatha's past that we haven't ever really heard about before, that I'm curious to learn more about Aubrey Plaza's character and how she plays.
Hold on, Agatha's
this.
Past. I was hesitant to bring that up because I can't remember what episode they kind of get heavy into that. But I think, and I'm going to put myself out here, I think it's the second episode where she does walk into a room that was clearly a child's room in that house, right? Like when she wakes up,
they're
putting the coven together.
Yeah,
she walks into a room where there was a child at one point, and she's like crying, and then all of a sudden she gets startled by the door and, you know, wipes her tears off and keeps going.
Yeah.
That's interesting for me to track what that's all about. Yeah.
No, I think so too. I think, and I think that the clever thing there is they're playing again on kind of that genre, but that's where I think watching that first episode is going to be even more interesting depending on how the series concludes. Cause it's like, you know, with WandaVision, you go back and after watching episode 8, you now know like why the heart is on the calendar, and it's like and I feel like Schaefer, the show in general feels structured in a way that is consistent with WandaVision without it feeling too much like it's aping it.
I would say that part has been true, right? Since our prediction episode or our preview episode.
Yeah.
Like it did feel like a pretty decent continuation these first two episodes. Now what's interesting is they go down that tunnel, they're going down the road. The next couple episodes are now on the road. That's not a spoiler really to say like that's where they are. And so I would say episodes 3 and 4 take a little bit of a different tone and kind of set a tone of like where this show is going beyond this kind of precursory setup type stuff. And so we'll talk about this more obviously at episode 4, but I am incredibly intrigued to see where it goes now because 3 and 4 kind of follow this pattern ish of what we're setting. And then I have no idea where they could go. And I watched the first 4 episodes, and then I was with my wife last night watching football, and a trailer came on for Agatha All Along. And I was really interested to see how many shots were in that trailer that I have not seen yet.
Oh,
there were a lot of shots I had not seen. A lot. More than normal. Because sometimes you and I get screeners.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we see the trailer and we're like, wow, that was like 80% of the first episode. Like 80% of those shots were from the first episode. There was like maybe one clip. Right, because that means like they think they have like, you know, bullets in the what would you say? Shells in the shotgun? What would you say? They have like more bullets in the gun that they are saving.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot we haven't seen. So I will be fascinated. Like, no matter how you feel about these two episodes or the next two that are coming up tonally or any of that, I think you'll still be intrigued to see like where could this be headed.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
Oh yeah, I think so. I also am just thinking like the WandaVision connectivity. I just remembered that is it Senior Scratchy? Is that the bunny's name?
The bunny.
I like that he's still around. She's still senior.
Well, they didn't call him Senior Scratchy in this, did they?
No, but that was his name in WandaVision, right?
It's gotta be. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think you're right, and I'm curious to see, like, you know, so far, like you said, we've gotten kind of 2 Westview episodes, and then the second 2 we got were on the Witch's Road, and I'm wondering if it's something where the rest of the show is basically going to be the Witch's Road and then the finale maybe is back in Westview or
does she reach the end of the Witch's Road by episode 6 and then there's like something crazy because of that for episode 7, 8, 9
because we did, I don't think we said this last episode, but it has since been announced that the finale will be kind of like a two-parter. Like we'll be getting 8 and 9 the same night.
On Halloween weekend, which is awesome, instead of going into November.
So that'll be fun.
That will be really fun. That's a clutch call too. We'll talk more about that obviously in the upcoming weeks because our audience will see more then and kind of see if that
rings
true.
I am a couple of Well, one small thing and then one big question to kind of wrap us up on my end. What was your thought on Aubrey Plaza in this show so far in terms of her performance?
Well, I don't love the way you're leading that. I thought she was pretty great. And I'll say one other thing I liked about her character, you know, in WandaVision, as a follow-up to WandaVision, in WandaVision, when Agatha shows up in Wanda's hex and she's not cursed, she definitely slow plays it to try to observe and figure things out. Like she's in those first few episodes aware of what's going on, but still playing along with Wanda to kind of slow play it. I like that continuation here, that Aubrey Plaza clearly realizes like Agnes is cursed and but she goes with it for a while, tries to like help solve the case, brings pizza. So I like that aspect. But two, like, I guess for me, and I'm scared now what you're going to say, I thought it was good acting wise. No,
well, okay. I'm a big fan of hers, and I feel like she almost always turns in a great performance. So this is not me really questioning her quality as an actress, but I really liked her in the first episode. Well, I really liked her in the first half of the first episode, I should say.
As the FBI agent?
As the FBI agent. I feel like I can't quite figure out what she's doing when she's in like the witch mode. Like it's like, I know she's kind of doing the I'm crazy and unpredictable thing. Like always the wide eyes and she's like really violent and saying crazy things, but I just can't quite click into it. Like it feels like that to me feels like what I feel like you're feeling about Katherine Hahn's performance.
I hear what you're saying, not arguing off that cliff, but I don't feel that really at all for me. It might be the opposite characters, and maybe it's one of these rare times where we're not in lockstep.
Yeah, well, and I'm curious to see, it may be just totally, that's also the type of thing that tends to ease for me once I have more context. So I think like, as we move on and I understand what's motivating the character and who she is and why she's acting in certain ways, then I don't feel that discomfort. But there was just a part of it where I think I was really building up Aubrey Plaza's contribution to the show because I like her so much and she seemed so excited about it. And I do love that she's having fun with it and leaning in. I just think that there are parts where I'm like, it feels a little one note to me, I guess. Like I'm hoping that it's a little bit more nuanced than they're setting up at this point, and I'm sure it will be, but I just wanted to see if that was something you felt, but you didn't, which is great.
I didn't.
The other thing I wanted to raise just more generally, now that we have seen these first two, all of us, and then also, you know, you and I haven't talked since watching the first four, what is your take on like how this show is going to be received generally, like within the population, not critics, like as we move on? We were talking some last episode about following up on Deadpool and Wolverine, and obviously this is a different vibe and I think appealing to a different demographic, but do you think that this is going to kind of continue what I think people are thinking of as sort of a comeback for the MCU, or do you feel like this is kind of like a neutral thing? Do you think, obviously there's going to be a lot of review bombing like you previewed before. Do you think that that's going to be something that like prevents this show from getting the kind of attention that it should, or like from really resonating with people? Like what were your thoughts turning off that last episode about kind of where this will land among the Phase 4, Phase 5 contributions?
That's a super complex question, because I think that is why I was tweeting all those question marks. Like sometimes I can walk out of the theater and just know this is what's going to work. This is what's going to be slammed.
You're pretty good about that.
Yeah. This one was very confusing for me because I think it's complicated. Like I think I was feeling a lot of things. I think more neutral than anything, to be totally honest. I don't think it's going to like be a game changer for the MCU. Like I don't, if you thought the MCU was already struggling or bad or not back. Like there's, so first of all, there's going to be a faction of people that will be anti it because it's witchcraft. There will be a faction of people that will be anti it because there's gay stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a faction of people that will be anti it because it's all women, basically.
Right.
And a gay guy. And it's directed by a woman.
Yeah.
That's not me, obviously. I'm saying I'm aware that that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And so I think a large portion of those people, this is totally stereotyping, okay? I'm just putting you in a box awfully. Probably love Deadpool. And
right.
So those are the people that are loud about, well, the MCU again, just can't figure it out. So that will happen for sure. And I'm not belittling that. I even think there will be some people in our audience that go into it with good faith. This is a different category. There will be people in our audience that go into it with good faith and don't feel those things, but it still just doesn't feel like totally their scene.
Yeah.
Like it will be divisive in that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be people that go into it with good faith that want the MCU to win, that don't like it as much as they're saying in tweets and stuff, but they want it to be good. So they're going to say like, oh, this is still like a great serialized television. First time they're really nailing the show vibe, when really deep down they're kind of like, that part was a little weird. And and then I think there'll be another category of people that just love it. And they love that it's like a comics. This is probably like Ben on our Discord. Like, we'll probably love it because it's a comic feeling thing. It's a totally different corner. It's goofy. They embrace it. And it is quality. Like I, for you, by the way, like visually, there are nothing in the first two episodes that look weird at all. Like it's so grounded. Like it feels like they shot it in Westview. The practical effects of the witches moving, pounding through walls, air blasting people over, all felt awesome to me. Mm-hmm. None of that felt weird. It felt so tangible. So like there is stuff about it where you're like, yeah, this is really quality television. So I think there'll be a fourth faction of people that just love it. Because there are those four different factions of people though,
mm-hmm.
No, I don't think it's going to be a massive driver. It's not going to be unifying like Endgame was, or like Deadpool was, in that like, or honestly, like WandaVision was. I don't think it will have quite the same extent. Although even WandaVision had some people really confused the first few episodes to where they thought it was terrible. I remember I told you some of that.
Like, what
is happening?
I mean, people were saying it was the worst thing the MCU had ever done.
Which is totally opposite of what you and I were feeling, but I'm just trying to be aware. Like when you ask me that question, I'm trying to put myself in all these different people's shoes.
Yeah.
And because I think on this one, there are so many different shoes, there will be all these different feelings represented. Uh-huh. I don't think it's going to like be a crazy driver, but I also don't think it's going to be viewed, you know, who knows? We were wrong about Secret Invasion. I loved my first two screeners of Secret Invasion. I loved them.
Yeah.
And posted about that. And then people did not love that show by the end.
Right.
So I don't know, but I don't think it's going to end up being as polarizing as those, because I don't think there's going to be a, quote, drop-off like that. And part of that, again, going back, sorry, this is a long rant. My thing with Secret Invasion is, like, mostly I think people had the wrong expectation. More than anything, it's that, yes, there was some drama behind the scenes, and, like, that show is a little bit hard to put together. But more than, like, any one aspect, like, it's not the acting in that show, for example.
Yeah.
The acting's good. There is some cool writing. More than anything, I think it's that we thought it was going to be a secret invasion. And it kind of was like, well, here's a few Skrulls and the history of Nick Fury, which is fine. But they didn't call it that. So I think the missed expectations, the big thing. Here's my last closer here. I don't think that many people have crazy high expectations for Agatha All Along. So I don't think there's going to be as many missed expectations. Therefore, I think it's going to be more neutral. I don't think as many people are going to view it as like, wow, that was a huge misstep, outside of the people who are mad about the political stuff.
Which, by the way,
there's a line in the show, and I can't remember if it's episode two, where Agatha says, like, let's not get political here, okay?
Oh,
maybe that's later.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. I think that, that may be
later. Is that a fair 5-minute rant?
No, totally.
That's my assessment of what's going to happen.
I think you're right. And I think it's one of the reasons why it's ultimately, I think, going to be the right call that this is like kind of a WandaVision sequel, but not billed as like WandaVision : part two or something.
If you did that, then there would be missed expectations.
Yeah. Like, but I think this is what I like, is it is carrying that forward, but I didn't expect it to that much. So any any work that it does on that front feels like a win to me. Whereas, yeah, like I think if you were wanting it to do a lot there, it would not be doing nearly enough. So I think like that's a win. And I think you're, from what I've seen so far, the quality is like, it is a perfect case of them doing what they're setting out to do very well, which is kind of what we were talking about ahead of this show. And so I think a lot of people will just, they're not going to like this type of thing. Like, it's just not genre wise going to be like, if you came into the MCU because you love Captain America, Winter Soldier, this is not going to give you any of that. Right. And that's happened more and more as we've gotten further in the MCU, just as we've started exploring. I mean, you could say the same thing about like the first Doctor Strange movie, but it's like we're getting deeper and deeper into certain subgenres. And I think it's like I could see it landing in a similar spot to She-Hulk for a lot
exactly.
of people.
Is it going
to
be much different than She-Hulk? No. Like, some people will love it.
Yeah.
Which is why I brought up Ben, for example.
Yeah.
And some people are going to review bomb it. And some people will watch it and go, that was fine, but it just wasn't my thing. And like, for example, Neil is that way. Like, Neil is a total good faith listener. He wants to love every project. I appreciate his opinion as much as anybody's. And that show just doesn't click for him.
Yeah.
Which is okay. And so there's going to be some of those people too. That's what I mean. All these categories are going to be represented.
But I do think that for people approaching it in good faith, and again, this is just based on the first four episodes, I think that it would be hard to say it's a step down in terms of quality. Like, I don't know that you would look at it and say like, oh yeah, you know, Marvel's losing their grip.
And that's where I say like one of the obvious things that people would always point to annoyingly with like She-Hulk was, even if you liked everything, people could post a screenshot of how the visual looked weird on She-Hulk, the CGI. Thankfully, and honestly, here's another thing. I love Moon Knight. You know, it's like a tier one thing for me. I love it. That's another one where I in the back of my head, I go, dang, but there's this visual thing in the first couple episodes that's a little weird on the CGI. So I am thankful that at least through two episodes, and really I think through four, but like that's not a thing right now.
Yeah.
So you can't point to that, which I think will help some of those concerns.
I think it's going to be really interesting getting into this next couple of weeks, because this is going to be running basically concurrently with the Penguin. And
I brought that up to Annika. Could not be any more different in what they're trying to do, but there will be Penguin bros who are like, Marvel's so stupid. For sure.
Yeah. Well, no, I feel like that is cheap to me because, and I should say, I think people know this. I loved the Batman and I am actually really, really excited for the Penguin. So this is not. Penguin. But everything I've read, the Penguin is supposed to basically be like the Sopranos and Gotham. Like, I think that it is very like, it's a crime drama and, you know, you see like the Wire comparisons and all this stuff,
which we love. That's the kicker is like, there's room for all of it for us.
No, exactly. So, exactly. Like I don't think that they have to be pitted against each other, but I do think that that's one of those bad faith things where like people will take something like that and say like, wow, like DC Marvel. And it's like, no, that's not really like, they're doing totally different things. Like if you're going to do that, like go do like Shazam, you know, like that's the DC answer to something like this, where it's a little bit like it's more colorful and it's doing something that's more like it's not as self-serious. And I think, but it will like, I'm just curious to watch. Maybe I'm wrong. And like, maybe the dialogue isn't going to go there, but I worry that, I don't worry. I think that there may be some like bad faith comparisons.
Yep.
There more will so be. Because of the timing. But
there will be, and then we don't have to care.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
I'm super excited about the Penguin. So I'm really excited to have, I kind of like that they're both so different. I was talking about this with you and Pete the other day. It's weird how this stuff happens.
I think because they are so different, it's easier to not compare.
Exactly.
It's worse when it's like the Batman versus Superman and Civil War at the same right. time era. Then it's like, well, now I'm watching the same movie, but one's good and one's not.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to be like, wow. Because I think WandaVision was happening opposite of something else, too, that was totally different. I think I'd rather that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like we were talking the other day about the weird timing of House of the Dragon season one and the first season of the Lord of the Rings show coming right, out yeah. at the exact same time. And
yep.
that, like, I was in a spot where I wound up just kind of picking one and watching it all the way through and then going and watching the other one because it was just kind of like
too much.
They're so similar that I don't need that much of like this fantasy drama. So yeah, I do like that these shows kind of showcase like just different ways of playing in like superhero worlds. And
you can so watch both of them.
I hope that people can hold those things, but I was curious mostly just to get your reaction kind of at a high level, but I in general came away, like I maybe came into this with a bit of trepidation, and I'm coming away from the first four episodes confident that like Jack Schaefer is pretty good at executing a vision. And that makes me, even if there are things that pop up from time to time over the course of the show that are not like exactly my thing and maybe I don't think are totally nailed, like you, I feel pretty confident that they're going to, it's not going to be like a drop off. Like I think that they're going, like they have a sense of where they're heading, and I feel like it's going to be satisfying. But again, this is as someone that does not hate the WandaVision finale in the way that certain other folks do.
We've told you a lot of different ways to get involved in this podcast, but today I want to reiterate our Discord channel, because our Discord channel is best when TV is happening weekly and we can break this all down, because I genuinely want to know your thoughts. So go to the FFWpodcast.com and you can find the link on there to join our Discord server. And on mm-hmm. there are hundreds of people chatting about this stuff like weekly. So I want to hear your thoughts. How did this show work for you? Do you agree with any of our takes? Do you disagree with any of our takes? Go to Discord, find friends from work, or go to our website, the FFWpodcast.com, and then click on join the Discord server. Thank you for listening. It means the world to us. Your support, you listening, you financially supporting on Friends from Work Plus is the reason that Robbie and I can continue to do this. And so, oh, we're so grateful. We love you. We'll see you right back here next time, chatting about Agatha All Along, episode 3, right back here on Friends from Work.